brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
We're going to do whatever we can together, and just having a team that's selfless.
How successful do you think you've been in handling all of this noise surrounding someone that has all of this attention?
It unites this community. They camp out on the streets to come and get those tickets.
Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Thanks for accessing us however you were doing so, large device or small. John here, Hannah there, and it is folks that have played two games, folks that might have just played one. We're getting into it. We're heading out of August into September. We've got some really cool storylines, and two of those cool storylines are here with us today.
Yes, they are. Game number three on GPB is Rome versus Carrollton. This is going to be a really, really good matchup. We catch up with Trojans head coach Joey King, hosting the Wolves this week. And we talked to Savannah Christian head coach Baker Woodward. The Raiders spent two seasons in AAA, made it to the championship against Cedar Grove last year, did not win, but they are back down to single A, ready for that trophy. They have the top recruit in the state and a really special team. So it was great catching up with Coach Woodward.
Yeah, and to be able to kind of, you know, find a place we hadn't caught up with a coach yet, just to go to the coast and see what's going on, and able to catch up with Coach Woodward, very, very cool. And obviously with us heading out to Rome and Carrollton at Grisham Stadium this Friday, it's going to be a real treat to go out to West Georgia and see everybody there. Our game last week.
We were dry, finally.
Yes.
It was a beautiful night. Oh, my gosh. That was a little taste of fall. It was a stunning night at Wineman Stadium for Rock Martin in Cartersville, which was the closest game will be to my house. It was a 35-minute drive.
Wow, okay.
John, my husband John, brought my twins up.
Yes, she.
They stole my job.
They did.
So you guys won't see me Friday. They will be taking my place. I'm just kidding, but it was a really good night. How about those Cartersville running backs?
Yeah, and you know, with the week one win for Cartersville, they had 102 players play. And for Rock Mart, they're very, very young. And it was great to see Rock Mart, who has made their way to the championship game under Bip Parson in his tenure, and to see where they are after graduation. Rock Mart, they packed the visitor stand, and that was really cool to see, too. This was a rivalry that, you know, even, and trust me, even before I was born.
Yes, Northwest Georgia rivalry.
Yes, it's that old. Even before I was born, these two teams were playing.
1925 was their first game.
And so I'm close in my
birth
year.
You were born the next year.
Yes, I was.
So
1926.
So, yeah. The day, the year before you were born is when they started.
Yes, so I was born in 1926. And I don't look a day over 212. So thank you for that.
You look amazing.
Thank
John.
You. Yeah. Amazing what night cream does for you. So, you know, it was fun to see Rock Mart show up. And the funny thing was, when you looked at the visitor stands, Rock Mart brought, you know, a tent with them so they could, you know, have their equipment shielded and everything. But if you looked at the stands, the fans had the awareness to the point to where they were, you know, they were seated, and there was this line where the outline where the tent was, so the fans could see around the tent. You just saw this blank space where they weren't sitting.
Yeah, no one wanted to sit
there.
Because
they had the knowledge of, okay, if the tent is here, that means that we all can arc over this. And so, no, it was they filled out the visitor's stand at Wineman Stadium. It was great. Home stand was filled as well.
Category 5 group is what they were called. We had them on the halftime.
Cat 5.
Yeah, Cat 5 group. We had them on the halftime show. The atmosphere just overall was really incredible, even though Cartersville did continue their winning ways over the Yellow Jackets, but it was a fun one.
Yep. So you want to toss to our first coach?
Well, let's take a quick look around the state,
sure.
John. I have some notable matchups here.
Uh-oh, she's got notable matchups.
Okay, Seckinger. Am I saying that
Seckinger,
right?
Seckinger, yeah.
Seckinger.
With Tony Lottie, yeah.
Of 5A, recorded its biggest victory in the school's three-year history, taking down 39-point favorite Archer. Final score, 34-27. I have that one kind of written down and circled, John.
Yep.
That was kind of a wild, wild game. Thoughts on that? And then have some surprises?
Well, Tony Lottie has done great work there at Seckinger. And as a young school, obviously you're going to be playing freshmen and sophomores. And those freshmen and sophomores are now juniors and seniors. And so to get a signature win like this for Seckinger over Archer,
Archer. Where is Seckinger?
Seckinger is, if I'm not mistaken, like if you're driving 85 north.
Okay, let me pull it up on the map.
And it's like if you're driving 85 north heading toward Chateau Alon, Banks County, South Carolina, Clemson, wherever
it's
you want.
It's in Buford.
Yeah, so what their address is Buford. I think if I'm not mistaken, if you're like driving to Mill Creek or driving past Mill Creek on the freeway, Seckinger is in the southbound lanes of 85 and Mill Creek is in the northbound lanes of 85. Basically the same exit. You go one, you go left, you go to Seckinger, you go right, you go to Mill Creek.
Past.
So 85 is the dividing line to get to
all of the... Google Maps picture is still the construction of the school, so that tells you how
the school is built,
how new it is.
The school is complete, trust us. So
not according to Google Maps.
Well, Google Maps needs to update. They need to send one of their cars over there to do a 360. So the school is complete, and the football program is winning under Tony Lottie, who's had some great challenges on his own fighting cancer. And so now you've got Tony, head coach at Seckinger. They're getting wins, and they got a big win over Archer.
Okay, remember that, guys. Seckinger, they are on the map. Okay, one more. TCC coach Justin Rogers won his 100th game last week. Woohoo! Go Coach Rogers. Mm-hmm. In a 44-14 victory over Cairo, Rogers becomes the 19th fastest GHSA coach to 100 wins. But guess who holds the record?
See, here's where this is what we call transition elements.
The one that holds the record is our next guest. That's Joey King. He won 100 games. It only took him 108 games.
Well, when you've got Trevor Lawrence as your quarterback to start things off.
Only 8 losses.
I know.
That's amazing.
Standard stuff is great.
Well, Coach King will be looking for his 107th win against Rome this Friday right here on GPB. Let's bring him on the podcast. Hey, Coach King, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today. You go 2-0 on the year with a 35-7 win over Columbia. Juju on fire again, of course. 20 of 26 passing for 274 yards and 4 TDs. Recap your second game for us of the season.
Yeah, I thought our guys did a really good job. Defensively, we came out, played extremely well. They actually did a good little job scheming us up straight out of the gate. We made some adjustments, and our guys held strong after that. And offensively, we scored on our first possession of the game. I thought we did a really good job. We had a 2-minute drive for a touchdown right there before the half. And then came out of halftime a little bit flat, but we finally figured it out. And we're able to play a bunch of guys, and it's always good to do that and come out with a win.
No doubt about it. When you have someone who is as talented as Juju Lewis is, what do you think he still needs to work on because of all of the attention and all the noise that folks like Hannah and I give him? We get to look at him in a game state. When it comes to getting prepared for the next level, what do you think he needs to work on here in his senior season?
Yeah, every player needs to continue to be a pro in the meeting room, you know, taking all those details into account. We talk a lot with you about managing the game. You know, there was a situation this past Friday. He scrambled and went out of bounds. It was second and three, and he ran out of bounds instead of throwing the incompletion, you know, and saving second and three. And now it was 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, you know, just little things like that throughout the game to manage the game well. You know, there's situations where he feels like he can make any throw on the field, and he can, you know, but sometimes it's better to just throw that thing away and keep us ahead of the sticks.
If anyone lives under a rock, then you don't know he's committed to USC. So here you go. He's committed to USC. Coach, what kind of player are they getting in him?
He's extremely, extremely talented from an arm standpoint. I mean, he can make every throw on the field. He's extremely accurate. He continues to grow in his knowledge of the game, which is good to see. And he's excited right now, heading into his senior year. The focus is completely on us, not the recruiting scene right now, which is nice. But super, super talented young man with a bright, bright future ahead of him for sure.
How do you deflect all of the noise and the phone calls and, you know, the demands on a player like that? Because I'm sure that there are folks like us that will knock on your door, that will text you, that will email you, hey, can we have, you know, hey, can we have 5 minutes? Hey, can we have 10 minutes? We want to do an interview. This person, this person, this person. This coach wants to come by and talk. This coach wants to come by and talk. How do you handle and how successful – all right, guess how successful do you think you've been in handling all of this noise surrounding someone that has all of this attention?
Yeah, well, from dealing with Trevor, I kind of knew that some of this was coming. Yeah. So that experience has kind of helped us there. From Julian's standpoint, we treat him like a normal kid. You know, we treat him just like everybody else. From a team standpoint, from an outside standpoint, we're very fortunate here at Carrollton. We maybe 2 years ago hired Matt Skinner, who you guys have probably communicated with. Matt does a great job as our sports information director. So he, you know, I get a lot of requests and I send them to Matt
and let him
communicate that and sort it all out.
Well, this is not the Juju podcast. We want to hear about the rest of the team as well. Name a player on your team that is worthy of our Make That Kid an Offer segment. So you have somebody like Juju who is on one end of the spectrum. What about a really special player on your team that isn't getting the looks that he deserves?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I needed that one ahead of time. We got a bunch of guys that kind of fall into that category.
You can name several.
Yeah, I think on the defensive side of the ball, you look at Caden Spratling. He's got an offer from Shorter, but I mean, he's 6'1 and some change, about 215 pounds. As a sophomore last year, he won state in the discus. Really, really physical coming off the edge. Had a great week one against Woodward. So he's definitely one that falls in that category, I believe.
And you can also continue thinking about it. If others pop up during the interview, go ahead and mention them too.
Sure.
You're in Region 2-6A, and it's another sprint where you only have the four region games. How difficult was it to fill out your schedule? Because you brought in Parker, you've got Gainesville, you've got Rome on our air this week. How many folks actually come knocking on your door saying, hey, we want to play Carrollton? And how many folks do you have to knock on a door to sit there and say, hey, we'd like to play you?
Yeah, I don't really know if I got any phone calls during that time, you know. So we had to do a lot of work. You know, Coach Reed and myself at Rome, we've played since I've been back at Carrollton, and that was a rivalry game that we want to continue. They're a, you know, a powerhouse program. They do a great job coaching, so we wanted to make sure that we kept that going. So that was a little easier phone call than the rest of them. But trying to get the rest of them was quite a challenge when you got to field six non-region games. You're coming back with, you know, one of the top quarterbacks in the country and you know, a lot of guys returning. It's a tough task.
This is only the second school that you've coached at. You were at Cartersville for a while. This is your fourth year with Carrollton. What have you learned as a head coach there with the Trojans?
Oh, man. The who is a whole lot more important than the what. You know, the people that you surround yourself with are extremely important in any job. The players are the most important thing that we focus on here. But, you know, I tell everybody all the time, I wake up every day trying not to mess it up. You know, we got a lot of good people around us from the administrative standpoint to our coaching staff to our players. So the who is definitely more important than the what.
So let me ask you about the who that is Carrollton as a city and a fan base. For someone who's never been to Grisham, for someone who's never been to Carrollton, they might see him on the air, they might see him in a deep playoff run, they might, you know, might remember the name Ben Scott or something, or, you know, Charlie Grisham or something like that. What does football and athletics mean to Carrollton from the time that you've been there and the time that you've played against them and all this kind of stuff? What does football mean to Carrollton?
Yeah, I think it, you know, it unites this community. You know, when I first got back, those first couple of years, season tickets went on sale, and the ones that didn't sell right away, they opened up to the general public. I say the ones that didn't sell right away, the ones that they didn't renew right away, they opened those up to the general public, and people camp out on the streets. They camp out on the streets to come and get those tickets the next morning, you know. So we'll go out there, and there'll be tents and chairs set up, and, you know, I take them coffee and donuts while they've spent the night outside to try to get some season tickets. Here over the past year, though, we've gone digital. You know, we've caught up with the times.
Oh, and, good.
And just kind of open them up. But that was pretty neat. You know, it's pretty neat to see that doesn't happen everywhere. Football means a lot in this community, and it's a privilege to be the head coach here.
Last question for you. You host Rome on GPB Friday night. Preview that one for us and give us your keys to the game and what should we expect there when we make the hour and a half trek up from Woodstock?
Yeah, we're really excited about it. You know, going into our third game of the season, it's actually Rome's first game. You know, they had a bus wreck the first after their scrimmage. So we'll be the will be the first game that they've played all year. I'm hoping that they're healthy, and definitely thankful that nobody was seriously injured in that accident. But, they've also had 3 weeks. By Friday will be 3 weeks to prepare for. So you give a John Reed team 3 weeks to prepare. That can be a dangerous thing. But our guys are excited again. Just it's the most important game of the year because it's the next one. But we're definitely looking forward to it. The keys to the game, they do a really good job offensively. They're spread based, RPO. They do have a new quarterback, and we don't know a whole lot about him. We saw a little bit of the scrimmage tape. He did a really good job against Rockmart delivering the ball, but they've got a lot of athletes around them. Their skill guys are as good as they've ever been. And then defensively, they're going to base out of a four down front. Jaden Harmon is a beast over there, flying around. The Sykes kid that's at safety. I feel like those guys have been playing for Rome for 6 years, But they always do a really good job defensively. So we got to make sure that we take what they give us and just trust that those big plays come.
I didn't even think about not having any fresh film for 3 weeks on them. Oh, man, Coach. Well, yeah. We are so excited for Friday. We will be there early afternoon. Thank you so much for your time on the podcast today, and we're really looking forward to it.
Thank you guys for having me. Go Trojans.
One coach down, one to go, and for this one, we go to the coast and catch up with one of the top-ranked teams on the private side from single-A to triple-A. Time to catch up with Savannah Christian's Baker Woodward.
Hey, Coach Woodward, thanks for joining us. 2-0 on the year. You get a 35-7 win over New Hampstead, that top-ranked defense holding up. You also decided to go for the run game on offense, only passing for 44 yards. What were your biggest takeaways out of that game?
Yeah, so we knew that New Hampstead, Coach Hockman does a great job over at New Hampstead, and they have a really good quarterback. And, our plan was to keep him on the sidelines. And so, we wanted to run the ball. And, the first play of the game, kick return, we got a 15-yard penalty. So we had to overcome that. And I think we had like an 85-yard, 90-yard drive, took off 8 minutes of the clock. And so New Hampstead's offense was on the sidelines, and that's where we wanted them. So that's why we stuck with the run game. And, can't give my hats off enough to our offensive coordinator, Dominique Allen. He's new this year. This is my first year having an offensive coordinator, so it's really weird for me not calling the plays. But he's done a great job with our run scheme. And our offensive line, we're averaging 280 yards on the offensive line. 280 pounds on the offensive line.
Wow.
And so that helps in your run game. And Zoe Smalls, he did what Zoe Smalls does, 180 yards on 32 carries. So that helped helped our defense out a lot, having New Hampstead's offense on the sideline.
When it comes to bringing in a new OC, considering that you're the guy that's used to multitasking on a Friday or Thursday or a Saturday, what is that like to see someone else do it where I know that you're like, okay, I trust you. I wish I was doing this, but I trust you. I wish I was those kinds of things. What's it like having a new OC down there?
Well, I think it was more of, hey, can I find someone that I trust with the offense that can make our overall team better, and that would make it better for someone else calling the plays, and I can focus on all the things that a head coach has to do these days. Spend a little bit more time on the defense, spend more time on special teams. And so it's been, I've been here since 2018, and I've signaled every play. I've called every play. I've done a little bit of everything. I also had a great staff since I've been here, but just never anyone to fully take over the offense. And Coach Allen's done a great job. He came, he's been doing football for a long time with being the quarterback at the Citadel and then coaching at the Citadel. And now he's here as our OC. So I trust him, and he takes it, and he treats it like his own, and he's done a really good job for sure.
Well, things are going really well on the defensive side of the ball as well. You have the number one recruit in the state, Elijah Griffin. He has not yet committed. The crystal ball 247 prediction is leaning towards Georgia. What's that been like, that recruiting frenzy? I see Miami's making a last minute push for him. What type of player is he, and what's that all been like?
Yeah, so I've had the privilege of having Elijah here since the sixth grade. And so he's a great kid. Like, you're never going to get anything from him, but yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, sir. That's what I'll do. And he's just a great kid, first and foremost. He's handled, if I was a 14-year-old kid, And in eighth grade, I got an offer the University of Georgia. You would know it, you know. But him, you know, he's handled it really well. I think he knows, obviously, that he's a great player. But you wouldn't get that from him if you were talking to him. And so, you know, my hat's off to him in terms of just, you know, staying humble, staying grounded. And his mom has done an excellent job raising him. Like, she is a police officer, and she doesn't put up with anything, you know, so she's done a great job. But
amazing.
He's handled it well. I think anybody in the state of Georgia, they know the Georgia Bulldogs, you know, and you grow up as like, hey, you know, I want to play for Georgia, you know. But, you know, when you're a big recruit like him, he's smart enough to know that there are other things past the state. You know, for me, like me now, like I just love the state of Georgia. Like, but for him, he does. He's going to look at all avenues, what is going to be best for him and his family. But, you know, all the places that he's looked at, they have what he needs and him to develop. And I think for sure it's in the back of his mind is that he wants to be, you know, the best college player that he can be when he graduates from Savannah Christian, and then who's going to develop him the most to get him to the next level of the NFL. Because if we're talking about the number one recruit in the state of Georgia, well, the state of Georgia is awesome at football. Yeah. And, you know, if you're number one in the state of Georgia and, you know, you stay healthy, you got a real good shot at another level past the college. So that's what he's looking at. He's looking for his development and being a great place for his family to come visit and watch him, et cetera.
You mentioned him as a sixth grader. What's your first memory of him on campus as 12-year-old, 13-year-old? What was your first memory of Elijah there on campus?
Well, they just said that, you know, admissions said, well, we have a upcoming sixth grader coming to visit today. And I was like, okay. And then I saw this kid walk up. I was like, maybe this high school visiting today. It's definitely not a sixth grader, but it was, he came with his mom and with his grandma, and just the very first day that he was visiting the school, he was just so put together. And then not only that, like, his mom and his grandma were just, they're such wonderful ladies, have a great influence on his life. And, you know, just the whole family in general was just so well-spoken, just a great family. And so that was our impression. The first impression was like, I've never seen a sixth grader that large. Like, and then when he walked with his class in sixth grade, we're like, is that the teacher or what? So, because, you know, when he came in, I think he was in sixth grade. He was probably like 6'1", 6'2", and already, you know, I mean, well over 200 pounds. And we look at pictures right now. His mom came in and decorated his locker. The senior moms come decorate the lockers. And there was a picture of him in sixth grade. And it's just like night and day, even though he was still big then, but it's night and day. I mean, he was 6 foot then or 6'2". Now he's 6'5", 290 pounds. And when you look at him, there's like, there's no fat on this kid. Like, he's the real deal and a great kid. And we're just sitting here lucky to have him, you know? And so we're excited about his future.
It seems like you have a really special group this year. You're in your seventh season there at Savannah Christian, made it to the finals last year. What makes this group tick?
Yeah. So this year, you know, every year, you know, everybody's goal is to win a region championship. Everybody's going to say, hey, let's win a state championship. And so we haven't really focused on just those easy goals. We focused on this year, our motto is one way. And the one way that we're talking about, every time I've been around great teams, like even when I was at previous jobs and part of state championship teams, the best teams were the teams that did things one way. And that was together, you know, coming together. And so, like I told them this year, I was like, our goal is going to be together. You know, if we win, great. If we lose, whatever, we're going to do whatever we can together. And just having a team that's selfless, you know, some of the things that we've been doing the last two games with penalties, they aren't very selfless actions. And so, but we've just been getting on our guys. I think that's, you know, if it becomes this special unit that I think it can be, and we can get to a region championship, and maybe, you know, we can get deep in the playoffs to a state championship, it's going to be one way. It's going to be together. You know, not worrying about individuals, because we do have some great individuals on our team, but we have to sacrifice the me for the we. And if we can do that, this team will be really special. Have a chance to be one of the best teams here at Savannah Christian.
You're in a region that is a sprint, and then people have to do math, and then you've got to slide over to the private championship. I mean, your region in Region 3 has you, Country Day, Vidalia, Swainsboro, and Toombs. That's a lot of heavyweights just in region play in general, but that means that you've got to find six non-region games, and you ended up getting BT and Fellowship as a part of that. How hard was it to fill out a schedule where you had to find six non-region games and people that wanted to play Savannah Christian?
Yeah, you can thank the GHSA for that. But I think everything happens for a reason. And you also have to do 2-year contracts, and which is also tough. You know, you played 15 weeks last year, and you know, a lot of people are off, so that's a half a season. When you go to the state championship, you play another half season with 5 games, and so you're not only trying to navigate the logistics of traveling on the road, you're also trying to get a schedule for the next year. And and then you have Carrollton calling you to play you, and you have Raven Gap calling you to play you, and wow, you got Ware County calling you to play you. And I've got to do what's best for our kids, our players, our school community, you know. And so it is very tough. And Blessed Trinity is really good. Fellowship Christian, they are a similar size school. So I was very happy getting that game. But we had to go across the state, go to Oceanside Collegiate to play. And so it makes it really tough because you're going 6 non-region games against quality opponents, and you're hoping and praying your players are going to be healthy by the time you get to region play. And so you're playing 6 really good opponents before you even get to region. And you're hoping with a single A school, we only have 50 players. You're hoping all the players that you have that are the ones or ones and twos are healthy by the time you get there. And so that's a prayer of mine, is that we'll stay healthy, and whoever we play, they get our best effort.
Speaking of sizes of schools, Savannah Christian was in single A for 14 years, bumped up to triple A for 2 seasons due to reclassification, back down to single A. I mean, you made it to the finals last year against Cedar Grove. Has it been kind of a whiplash, this reclassification? I mean, it's been right in the middle of your time there with the Raiders.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's tough. I mean, I liked it. I liked going to triple A because the region was right here. You know, there wasn't not a lot of travel for us, but at the same time, as a school, as a single A school, our school thought it was best to go single A just for the overall athletic program, which I don't blame them at all. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to play all these teams that are in a region in basketball. We have to play them all in baseball. And so the region 3 for us, with baseball during the regular season, I mean, some people didn't even have teams, you know, and then, you know, basketball, of course, then you're, you know, that region 3, you're in a juggernaut there with, I mean, I think most of the region was in the final 4 mm-hmm. with that. And so I think best overall, our administration, our athletic administration made a great decision, just go where the GHSA put us. But it has been, you know, it's been interesting going from triple A down to single A. And now what we're really in now is, if anybody remembers back 2014, around that area, even before that, probably 2012, this is the old BC, like the old double A. Mm-hmm. This is the old double A when BC and all them were in that Toombs County, Swainsboro, Bacon County, Jeff Davis. It's basically moved down to single A because there's two single A's now. But in our football region, and with basketball, very, very tough. And baseball, it may be even tougher with baseball too, in comparison to what we were at in AAA.
My last question for you has to do with that band of 50 that you have here this year. It's the make that kid an offer question that we like to ask all the coaches around the state. And obviously it might change as the season goes along, but right now, 2 weeks in, Is there a student athlete there that is too whatever, too small, too slow, and I'm putting all these in quotes, too small, too short, too slow, all these kinds of things that would fit into the make that kid an offer category for us where they're either getting not enough looks and they deserve looks in higher places, or they're just not getting looked at all for one reason or another?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think I have several of those type guys, but the guy that comes to mind and the guy that is a senior this year and he sports a 3.7 GPA is Jaden Miles. Jaden Miles is he's about 5'9", 190 pounds, but he plays middle linebacker for us. But at the next level, I truly believe that he could be a safety, some type of outside, nickel type safety. But at the same time, we need him on defense. But he's also one of our best running backs. Game one. Wow. So he backs up Zoe Smalls, who's preseason All-State, right?
Yeah.
And so when Zoe gets tired, we put Jaden in. The first game, Jaden had close to 10 tackles, and then he turned around and rushed for 3 touchdowns and 110 yards. And so this kid is really good. I've been in contact with a lot of schools. He's thinking about he wants to be an engineer. And so we're just trying to get him something. He's got a lot of D2 stuff. Mm-hmm. But if anybody, just check out his film, Jaden Miles.
All right, Coach Woodward. Well, thank you so much. I'm writing his name down because we need to feature him on Make That Kid an Offer. Well, thank you so much Absolutely. For your time. I'm so glad that we got to catch up. And we will be watching your team very closely this season.
All right. Well, thanks so much for having me, and go Raiders.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
Great to hear from Coach Woodward. Yep. Savannah Christian's next game is at home against Providence Christian. So that'll be another good one. We'll be talking to him later in the season, I have a feeling.
Yeah, especially as they are ranked in some polls in the top of the private rankings. It's going to be Savannah Christian, Prince Avenue. It's going to be that kind of a battle up there at the top of the private standings. And also, if you have them separated into your single A poll as well, seeing what Savannah Christian can do, they'll be very, very high on 2 polls this year and 2 top tens as they make the race to the playoffs.
And don't forget, 7:30 p.m. on GPB. I mean, how can you forget? Grisham Stadium, Rome versus Carrollton. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be one of the most exciting games on our air this season.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, the idea that you don't have any film, you don't have any game film from 2024 if you're Joey King. That sends you fishing for huddle tape and
makes you a little nervous,
tendencies and all this kind of stuff. Don't be surprised if Rome gets some rhythm early and kind of has Carrollton's defense on its heels that they have to adjust.
Yeah, I agree. Halftime adjustments could be in order.
Yep. It's that time.
I guess we'll start with Lassiter.
Well, it's okay. So you go ahead. We'll start
rip the Band-Aid off.
We'll go ahead and start
after
with Lassiter.
Starting off the year.
Yes.
So well with a 35-30 win over Midtown.
Mm-hmm. My
Trojans have lost by 1 point to Alexander, 15-14.
That is absolutely true.
But? We do not have a losing season yet. We are 1-1.
Yep.
Trojans.
Lakeside DeKalb lost to St. Pius in a DeKalb County rivalry. 17-3. So the Golden Lions beat the Lakeside Vikings 17-3. So that means now we turn to the other side of the glass.
Yes, we do.
And give the other results of the week. By the way, Parkview did not lose. Parkview did not lose. And by the way, you're going to have to get your words of wisdom ready, too. Because, you didn't.
Oh, there's Jake.
Yeah.
He finally joins us this week. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Third podcast of the year is a charm.
Jake the Snake
finally
drops in.
Makes an appearance.
Oh, sorry, happy to be here.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
So since Parkview neither won nor lost, they were off. They neither won nor lost. And so we have a loss at Lassiter, a loss in Lakeside. Parkview had a bye week. Mm-hmm. Early here in the season, as we're going from August, heading toward Labor Day, are there any words of wisdom, whether they are football-based or late summer based, anything going on in your brain, Jake, right now? Words of wisdom for the listeners?
Absolutely. I wanted to let the listener know that stretching is always important,
yes.
whether you're an athlete or just a regular person.
Well, and especially if you're
a regular person.
An athlete or a regular person. So
regular.
So even if you, so as you're listening to the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast, you are suggesting that people stretch at the same time.
I think it's a great time to do it. You know, get especially if it's early in the morning, get your mind right, get your focus ready for what you're going to accomplish during the day. Lay down flat on your back. I'm not going to walk you through the whole thing, but start on your back.
Please don't.
And then do each limb.
Okay.
And then do each fingertip, and then just see how you feel from there.
Okay. So that's 14 separate stretches that Jake is recommending for us.
It's important
maybe
to get
not
your mind
during
right.
the podcast. Maybe like just
well,
later
no, but you
on
can listen
day.
To it and set the device off okay. to the side, and then you can sit there and stretch out the entire time.
Okay.
All right. And stretching all is right. very important.
Yes. Okay. All right. So Jake the Snake and stretching, very important. Mm-hmm. The rest of the crew, King James and his Central Macon Chargers.
Did they win?
They lost.
Oh.
38-6 to Ace Charter.
So is anybody won?
Give me a second. I can give you an answer. Let's see. Ambassador Jeremy's Darlington. They lost 14-7 to North Cobb Christian.
Oh, man.
And Gentle Ben's Mount Vernon.
Okay.
We got a perfect score this week. Mount Vernon lost to Whitfield Academy 35-14. So that's where we are.
Yikes, guys. Okay, there's always next week.
Let's see what? 5-6 losses and a bye.
There's always next week.
Of course. There's always, you mean this week?
There's always next game.
Yeah, next game this week because that's like next exit, this exit. It always ends up being the same thing on the freeway.
I don't even know what day it is, John. You know me. I'm coming in here Monday real foggy.
It is the day where we talk about high school football on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast.
Mondays are tough.
Yes.
Mondays are tough.
So for everyone around on the other side of the glass, so that would be, what, King James, Gentle Ben, Marky Mark, Jake the Snake, Ambassador Jeremy, and Commander Sandy and her Decatur. So did Decatur win? Yes, they beat GNC 42-28.
Sandy's got it.
Yes. So,
Sandy's got the win.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so Sandy got the one win of the group. So, and for Hannah and for me, I guess it's time for us to say goodbye.
That's a podcast.
Yeah, it's a podcast. So for everybody here at GPB, once again, it is Roman Carrollton on Friday night, 7:30 on all the devices, all the ways that you can access GPB, GPB.org, and the GPB Sports app. So for everybody here, to everybody there, thanks for hanging out with us on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Play it safe, everybody. Enjoy the game.
Bye.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.